endures hardship and does not quit. The good soldier realizes that there will be times of trouble and hardships along the way, but he is not deterred. He keeps doing what he's supposed to do. And now, let me tell you something. The devil is not pleased about this John Romans campaign. He's just trying to discourage you. He's going to try to get your schedule messed up when you plan to go. Something will come up. I'm telling you, it's the way it is, because it's a real battle. The soldier won't give up. We'll get as many of these things out as we can, and we'll bathe it in prayer that people would read them. The Holy Spirit would bring conviction for sin in their life. They'll understand that I'm a sinner before a holy God. I need Jesus. You pray as you hand them out. Smile as you hand them out. Good soldier is faithful, faithful. It's displayed by his patience, by his priorities. He seeks to please the commander. Again, it says here in verse 3 that he's a good soldier of Christ. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself, I'm in 2 Timothy 2, the text, verse 4, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's what it's all about, pleasing God, pleasing Jesus. We're an extension of his heart. Try to reach people for Christ. Not deterred. John 16, verse 33. Sometimes we can be, we look for excuses, reasons why we can rationalize in our mind not to do this or that. In reaching people for Christ, God help us to be good soldiers for Christ. In John chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, Jesus speaking, ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hey, hang with it, man. Don't be deterred. Stay with it. Let's witness for Christ. Let's do all that we can to win people to Jesus. Be faithful in it. It's displayed by his patience, his priorities, and his practice, what he actually does. He guards the truth of the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, notice the Bible says, Paul speaking, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've guarded the faith, the truth. I've not watered it down to make it more palatable. I gave the truth, the word of God, to people as it is, to men as they are. And that's what we're to do. With great delight, great joy in pleasing the Savior, pleasing the commander. The good soldier takes care of the things delivered unto him, particularly the gospel. He is determined to do a good job. He refuses to do anything to bring disgrace and dishonor upon his commander. Look at Matthew chapter 5 in verse 16. The Bible says, Jesus once again speaking, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father. It's not about looking good yourself. It's not whether you're accepted of people. You want them to know Jesus. You want to glorify God with your life. You represent him. We're called to be good followers. We're called to be faithful. We're called to be fighters. He's determined. In 2 Timothy 4, again, Paul says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. We should have that same determination. The good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. He does not run from a fight. Instead, he stands his ground and fights the battle until the battle is over. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Man, be a faithful soldier for Christ and be your fighter. Don't be so sissy with this. Many Christians are sissies. God help us not to be sissies. You got the greatest message the world ever heard of. What would you do if you had the cure for cancer? Would you stay in your living room, eat popcorn, and watch a movie? No, you'd share it with as many as you could. I get the cure. The cure is here. And yet we have the cure, the greater cure. For it speaks of eternal things. A man is saved from this life, from a disease. We thank God for it. But it's the one that lasts forever that matters. you and I have the gospel, we're to share it. And it might mean being a fighter at times. Fighting usually against the flesh. Man, get with it. Let's do it. Let's push ourselves. Good soldier. He's a follower. Good follower. He's faithful. He's a fighter. He's a finisher. I think we see that again, that same verse, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I don't know how well you've done your Christian walk. I don't know how faithful you've been in your sharing the gospel with others, being selfless, being good, being kind, being Christ-like in your life. I don't know. Many of us, all of us, have failures. We but to come to God and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for this failure, for that failure, all these failures in my life. But God's not so interested in the failures of your past. He's interested in finishing the course. I don't know how many years I have left. I mean, we brought through some cancer these couple of years here, and I'm clean as a whistle, and I'm thankful. But I tell you what, it brought me to some contemplation. I want to finish well. How about you? Want to finish well? I don't care how old or how young you are. Past is past. God has called upon you and I to be good soldiers for Christ with great thankfulness in our heart. We're thankful for our military because they provided us this freedom we have in this country. And I'm thankful. We ought to be thankful to our God. Let's be the fighters we ought to be for Christ. He's a finisher. The guy, you're driven. Paul said, I've finished my course. The good soldier realizes the battle does not run according to his own time frame. He knows that another is in charge of the duration of the battle. But the good soldier is driven to finish. He's in the battle to the finish. And may we finish well. He's driven. He's dedicated. Paul says, I've kept the faith. The good soldier dedicates himself to keeping his oath. He is determined to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 9. And we're getting ready to close here, so pay attention. Luke chapter 9. You go all the way to verse 62. You say, wow, I didn't know that many verses. Oh, yeah, some of these chapters have quite a few verses. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. That's what that say. So don't live in the past, man. Don't live in the past. Live in the future. Paul said in Philippians 3, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Leaving those things which are behind, he says. Leaving those things, I press towards the mark. What is God looking for from you and me? In the years that remain for our lives, young or old. And by the way, young, you don't know you'll get old. It's a real privilege to get old. Not everybody gets there. But whatever years you have, God has determined, there is your window of opportunity. Past, you can't focus on the failures. The devil would have you to do that, to dissuade you, to quiet you down. You're not worth it. You're not this. You're not that. Don't bother. But don't focus also on the past victories. While they can be an encouragement, and the past failures can be something we learn from, that focus is not supposed to be there. The focus is supposed to be ahead. That's what Paul said. I press towards the mark. See? He's headed forward. Good soldiers do that because they finish the course. We need to finish well. Many Christian soldiers have dropped out of the battle. I'll let the younger people. Well, it's true. As we get older, there's some things physically we can't do, we used to do. We can pray. And there's some things we can do. We can do. If we look for them, opportunities to serve and to reach Christ, people for Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice with me, verse 18. Paul says this to young Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare. I mean, be a good soldier, Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom, and he names Hymenaeus, Aeneas, and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I mean, there's some that are falling in the way. Oh, dear God, help me that I never be that man that falls, that wavers, that gets soft, that gets lazy. The battle's before us. The opportunities are before us. And victory is this way, not that way. Be a finisher. If you've somewhat dropped out of the battle, get back in, man, like John Mark did. Remember John Mark? Go, if you'll, to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, we hear of Mark leaving Paul and Barnabas. He was out there. He was on the mission trail. And he was being used. But in Acts chapter 15, 36, notice it says, "In some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them." Why? "Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." The Bible says that the contention was so sharp between the two, they ended up departing, splitting. Paul took one, Barnabas took the other. John Mark, he took Silas. Why? Paul says he quit. John Mark quit. And I suppose in various facets of our Christian walk, there are times when that's us. Oh, we used to do this. We used to do that. Oh, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to work in the nursery. I used to sing in the choir. I used to pass out tracts. I used to. Paul didn't have a very high opinion of quitting. But you know what the blessing is about this John Mark? Go to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy, Paul, where we've been, Paul's signing off. We're familiar with these verses. You know, 7, I fought a good fight. Finished my course, I'm ready to go. Then he gives his closing salutations. And notice with me, beginning of verse 9, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Timothy, come see me. That's what he's saying. God's about to take me home. Come see me. Why? Well, for one, Demas, verse 10, hath forsaken me. Why? Well, he loved this present world and has departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. Some for good, some just because they got caught up in this world. They just gave up the fight. They were in the fight, but they gave up the fight. And no doubt in the back of his mind, he's thinking of John Mark. Because look what he says afterwards. Verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Oh, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." What's that mean? It means he had given up. He had quit. He did go back. But he took stock in where he was at, and he said, "No, God wants me in his army." And he went back. And he was faithful, and he finished well. And God told Paul, record that in the word of God. I want people to know that even though there's some failures, God's not through with you. Get back in the battle. Get back in your Christianity. Get back in your Bible. Be faithful in every area that you can think of. And finish well. Be a good soldier for Christ. This weekend we honor our soldiers who have served our country and protected our freedoms. And I say sincerely thank you, all of you veterans. But today we also remind ourselves as Christian soldiers of Jesus Christ that we are indeed in a battle and that we must bring fresh resolve to our commitment in the battle. We have an enemy, the devil. He's alive and well. And he seeks to devour us. Devour our children. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that. Let's fight back with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ as directed by our soldier's manual. Amen? The instructions are here. The directions are here. The encouragement is here. The provisions are here. Christian, are you in the battle? actively engaged, daily reading the Word of God, His manual, meditating on what you read, obeying the Word of God, active in witnessing, faithful in attendance and service. The fight is on. Christian, may you and I be encouraged today. And particularly we have this new opportunity of the John Romans campaign. Man, get with it. Let's reach people for Christ. And then friend, if you're here today and you're not in the Lord's army, again, I'm not asking as to whether or not you have a church affiliation, if you used to go to church or actively go to church somewhere, whatnot. Church membership doesn't make anybody part of the army. You're not in the family of God till you trust Christ as your personal Savior. That personal being born again. Do you remember a time when you were born again? Not the time you were baptized, not the time you joined a church or whatnot, but time when, like physical birth, it occurred, and the nurse wrote down a day and time. There was a day and time where you trusted Christ, your personal Savior. If you don't have that, you don't have that 100% assurance. You can have it today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have a time of invitation. We're invited to spend some few minutes with God in light of what we heard, what challenges we heard, what encouragement we heard. May we thank God. May we praise Him. May we worship Him. May we make new resolves to Him. May solicit His help. God is listening. And over these next several minutes, I trust, Christian, that you say, God, I am back in the battle. Perhaps I have stepped aside a bit. Thank you for the charge, for the encouragement, Lord. I've not been reading my Bible like I should. I've not been praying like I should. But Lord, I'm resolved, fresh and anew. I'm going to finish well. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give the Word of God out to people, door to door, reaching people. And Lord, may you bless each and every one that has passed out. And now, friend, if you're not saved, would you say this prayer to God? You recognize that indeed you are a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You come short, friend, just like the rest of us. You need the Savior. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And that death, that second death we spoke of earlier, it's hell. That's the just reward. It's just. As sinners, holy God can't receive sin in heaven. God knew that, and the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, not whosoever is in a church, part of this congregation, that congregation, not whosoever does good deeds to people, gives great money to charities and this and that. No, it's whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a faith thing. You believe? Do you believe what the Bible says? You're a sinner headed for hell, but that God loved you, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to the cross. He paid the debt you owe in full. Would you this morning say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve hell. I know that You're holy, and heaven's holy, and I can't bring my sins with me there. But I also know that You love me. And dear Jesus, as best I know how right now, I'm asking You to forgive me of all my sins. I believe and I trust in what You did on the cross as my substitute. Please forgive me and save my soul. A friend, that simple prayer, if from the heart and genuine, makes you a child of God, born into the family of God, a soldier for Christ. I would encourage you, after the service, please tell me, tell somebody, I got saved today. I'm born again. I trusted Jesus, my Savior. Tell somebody. And they'll be glad about that. They'll be glad to help you. I'll be glad to help. I'll be glad to sit and talk with you, however I could help. But these next few minutes, as the piano's playing softly, all Christians and everyone here, these next few minutes, it's you and Almighty God.